Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1236 of our trek, and it is time for Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday will be mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book of the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. The book is a collection of insights designed to help us to understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as its original readers did, and as the original writers intended. Each week we will explore two additional insights. Today will be Mastering the Bible, Inspiration Through Editing. And insight number 5, editing was part of the process of biblical inspiration. If you're like most people in our developed world, so it seems, you talk about yourself and your family using social media. If you're an exception rather than the rule, social media is still understandable as an analogy, but think of it as your personal diary of what you and your friends and your family encounter and do each day. We know how something like this is supposed to be read. It would be written in the first person, I did this, or we did that. How odd it would sound if you were reading your friend's Facebook page and they talked about themselves using the third person. Instead of what you would expect your friends to post, I went to the movie last night, your friend would talk about herself as though she were someone else. She went to the movie last night. When someone writes about themselves, you expect the first person, not the third. It's because of this exception that scholars can tell that the biblical books were edited. One of the best examples is the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. Let me read that to you. On July 31st of the 13th year, while I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kibar River in Babylon, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. This happened in the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzi, a priest, beside the Kibar River in the land of the Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. As I look, I saw a great storm coming out from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with a brilliant light. There was a fire inside the cloud. In the middle of the fire glowed something like gleaming amber. The first verse uses the first person, and I underline those two examples in today's journal. The beginning creates the expectation that Ezekiel is writing about himself, but in verse 3, there is a switch to the third person, which I've underlined. Now the writer is clearly not Ezekiel, but is an anonymous author referring to Ezekiel in the third person. The fourth verse switches back to the first person. These switches are a telltale sign that an editor was involved. The book of Ezekiel has many such instances, as do many of the other biblical books. That we don't know the identity of these editors is of little consequence, since the authors of many of the books of the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament, are unknown. Knowing that the biblical books were edited helps us to address the issue in the text where something appears misplaced. These are not errors, but telegraph something about the reader. Scholars work at discerning the purpose of such things. Understanding editing can also help us to put certain statements in the Bible in the right chronological context for interpretation. Next, let's move on to our sixth insight, which is the Bible is not the exhaustive repository of all truth. One of life's great ironies is that we believe things that are demonstrably false and perhaps downright silly. Otherwise intelligent people really did believe that the Mayan calendar foretold the end of the world. Some people believe that we never went to the moon. And who knows how many people today now believe that the earth is really flat. The Bible is no exception to these ill-founded beliefs. One of the most obviously wrong is the notion that the Bible is the source of all knowledge and every single truth is found within its pages. To put it bluntly, that's just nonsense. While I believe that all truth does come from God, not all truth is contained in what God has chose to give to us in His Word. Otherwise, its correlating thought would be that if something isn't mentioned in the Bible, it isn't true. The truth of Dr. Heiser's insertions can be demonstrated thousands of times over. The Bible makes no mention of cars, microwave ovens, toilet paper, planets beyond Saturn, bubblegum, coffee, smartphones, electricity, and disposable diapers. And yet it's true that all of them are real. The idea that everything which is true is found in the Bible is simply false. And yet I've heard Christians say it more than once, even from the pulpit. One problem with such thinking, and there are many, is that those who think rejecting these ideas as a denial of inspiration tend to force the Bible to comment on things which it has nothing to say. The result is ill-informed Bible teaching that is patently bizarre. For example, some people will insist the Bible mentions dinosaurs, countries like China, races without humanity, and even flying saucers. The Bible says nothing about these things. Leviathan was not a dinosaur. It is a well-known ancient symbol for chaos and disorder outside of as well as within the Bible. The Table of Nations includes only countries that are in ancient Near East and Mediterranean. The subject of biological race distinction is unknown to biblical writers, who primarily separated people according to their religions and language. People groups in the Bible are distinguished by language, geography, and the gods that they worshipped. Ezekiel 1, we read, does not describe a UFO. All the imagery in this passage is known from ancient art and sculptures. Forcing the Bible to teach something that is absent from its pages means distorting its content and producing false beliefs in the name of truth. That is not only irresponsible, but it also sets up the Bible to fail as a source of truth for all things that it does not talk about. The solution is simple. We need to let the Bible be what it is. The content is deliberately selective since the author, living and writing under God's providence, has goals for the communications. Our task as Bible interpreters is to understand what the Scripture says in its own context, and not to add to it. And that will conclude this week's lesson on another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday an interesting topic to consider as we build our own biblical worldview. Tomorrow, we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us, and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,235 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward, enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.